God is good. All the time. Amen. If you would please stand, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 through 8. Or you can look up on the screen. Exodus chapter 19. Verses 3 through 8. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. And so Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before him all of these words that the Lord commanded him. And then all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. You know what an amazing experience this would have been.
To be rescued from Egypt and to see
To be rescued from Egypt. To see the 10 plagues, to see the hand of God. And then they left Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea on dry land. And then all the Egyptian army was buried in the Red Sea. In the Jordan River. And is the Jordan River? They crossed the Red Sea. Yeah, I was right. Okay. I'm getting old. Okay. Cross the Red Sea and to see that miracle. And all along, God has continually shown Himself to the Israelites. And now He says that He wants them to be His special people, a special treasure, He says. And He wants them to obey Him. He says, if you will obey my voice, I will make you a special treasure to me above all people. That sounds pretty cool, right? I mean, if God said, hey, I got a deal for you, and He laid that program out, who would sign up for it? Yeah, we all would, right? That's a no-brainer. And so they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And they were excited about that. Well, we kind of have that same program. Christ came and He died for our sins. And Hebrews says that He has made us into priests. That we are all priests, we each individually can go straight to God. And we are to, just like the nation of Israel, we are to bring other people to God. And the problem is, much like we'll see in the nation of Israel, the problem that we have is that we want God to sync His plans with ours. You see, we all want to serve God and we want to follow His plan. Just under one condition. That His plan and my plan is the same plan, right? As long as God's plan is my plan, it's a great plan. We want God to sync His plan with ours. And we're going to see this play out in the nation of Israel. This is just a little bit further down the road in this same on the same mountain. Moses is up on the mountain, and the people are getting tired of waiting for Moses. In Exodus 32, it says, When the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a golden calf. And then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that you brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And they rose early on the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go get down, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. And they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. And they have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation." See, Moses is up on the mountain receiving the commandments that all the Israelites said, "Yeah, we want to do that. Whatever the God says, we'll do." So Moses goes up there to get all the commandments of the Lord. After a while, they say, "You know, we're kind of tired of this waiting game. We're supposed to be headed to this promised land. We got things to do, places to go, people to see. We don't know what this Moses guy is up to anymore. He's been up there for a while. He might have got lost. Who knows? We need to make some progress. We need to be doing something." So they go to Aaron and say, "Hey, make us a God that can go before us," right? Because God was leading them, led them to the mountain. They say, "We need to keep going. So make us a God that'll send us in the right direction." And I think a lot of times we do that too. Sunday morning we come here and we say, "God, I want to serve you. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to live my life for you." And then Monday morning hits. Man, we got to get stuff done. We got to be doing this and we got to be doing that. Maybe it's not even Monday morning. Maybe it's Sunday afternoon. And we say, "God, you know, I like your plan, but my plan, no, this is the important one. I need to get a God that's going to go before me and he's going to bless what I'm doing." And so we make up this God and we say, "Thank you, God, for blessing what I'm about to do," without ever actually conferring with the real God about what we should be doing. I tell you this, God is not adopting our plans. He's not adopting our plans. We're not going to make out the plan and submit it to God and God's going to say, "Yep, go for it." It's not how it works. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." James says, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit.' Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.' But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows what to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." You see, God has a different plan. And you might say, "Well, yeah, but I need to do this, 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 and this." Remember, your Father in heaven knows what you need. He knows that you need food and clothing and all those things. He will provide for you. Remember, his plan for you is not to run you into the ground, but for you to prosper. We must seek God in all that we do. Psalms 37:5 says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Of course, we know Proverbs 3:5-6. "Trust not in your own understanding, trust in God." So we must trust God in all we do. And that's not just on Sunday morning. That's not just coming to church, or it's not just maybe 15 minutes in the morning reading the Bible. It's throughout the day. It's checking in with God, saying, God, is this what you want me to do today? Is this what you want me to be doing right now? Continually committing your way to the Lord, trusting in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. The reality is, in our own strength and in our own ambition, we can really do nothing. I remember Robert Kiyosaki. He wrote a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. But in there he was talking about tithing and why everyone should tithe. And this really doesn't have much to do with my message, but his point was that he would rather spend 90% of his money and have God help him spend 90% of his money than to try to figure out how to spend 100% of his money all by himself. That God could help him and bless that 90% and make it more fruitful and more abundant than he could with 100%. And he would give example after example in his book of how he would say, you know, God, I'm not going to tithe this month because I just can't afford it. And then sure enough, his car would break down. And the money that he was going to tithe, he went and spent fixing his car. You know, and just example after example of, in our own wisdom, we think, I'm going to do this. And then it never works out that way. But when we trust things to God, He provides for us. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. In the passage in Exodus, God said that He wanted the people to be a special people. And the qualifier was this, that you obey my voice and obey my commands. We must obey God's voice. But it's not just enough to go through the motions. Obedience is an attitude of the heart. In Mark 7:6, Jesus said, He answered and said to them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Acts 5:1-11 is a story, an example of this. There's a man named Ananias and Sapphira, and they sold a possession. You see, at this time, this is in the early church, and many of the people that are following Christ are being kicked out of their homes. They don't have any place to go. And so each person that has money is selling their possessions and giving the money to the church. And it's kind of a communal. Everybody gives to the church, and then the church leaders are giving out to those who are in need. Ananias and Sapphira, they had some property. They sold it. And it says in verse 2 that he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Why have you have not lied to men, but to God? Then Ananias, hearing the words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, Yes, for so much. And Peter said to her, How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. You know, these people did a wonderful thing. They sold their property and gave money to the Lord. That's a wonderful thing, right? Sell your property and give the money to the church or to the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. So why was God so upset with them? Because they lied. They said, we're giving everything. But they didn't give everything.
they kept back a little part for themselves. And I think we do that a lot of times in our Christian life. God, I want to give you everything, including Sunday morning. And that's about it. Maybe 15 minutes on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But I want to give you everything, and I want you to bless my life. And I'll give you Sunday morning. Give me your best shot on Sunday morning. Right? That's what we do. And God's not pleased with that. God doesn't accept that. Obedience not only means having an attitude of obedience, but it also means knowing. We can't follow God's word without knowing God's word. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Romans 15:4 says, "Whatever things were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And then Psalms 119:11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." We must be studying God's word, memorizing God's word, and continually studying, being a diligent follower, so that we can be knowing what is right, what is wrong, what is the will of God. And then we can obey it. We can't be obedient to God. We can't say, "God, I want you to bless my life and I want to obey you with my life. I want that plan." But then we never read our Bible. That doesn't work. You can't say, "God, I want you to bless my life and I want to obey you, and I just come to church on Sunday morning and then the rest of the week I'm doing my own thing." That's not going to work. But here's what happens if you're willing to really do what God has asked you to do, to really obey His word, to obey His commandments. John 13:17 says, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Psalm 128, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around at your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." There's a Persian legend that a certain king needed a faithful servant, and two men were candidates for the office. He took them both at fixed wages, and his first order was to fill a basket with water at a neighboring well, and saying that he would come in the evening and see their work. So he gave them a basket, each one a basket, and put them to work, filling the water out of the well. After putting in one or two bucketfuls, one man said, "What is the good of doing this useless work? As soon as we put the water in one side, it runs out the other." The other answered, "We have our wages, haven't we? This use is the master's business, not ours. I am not going to do such fool's work," he replied, throwing down his bucket, and he went away. The other man continued until he exhausted the well. Looking down into it, he saw something shining, a diamond ring. "Now I see the use of pouring water into a bucket," he cried. "If the bucket had brought up the ring before the well was emptied, it would have been found in the basket. Our work was not useless. Christians must believe that their divine master knows what is best and obey his commands, and in due time, they will know and understand." You know, there might be something that you feel like God is leading to you to do, but you don't want to do it because you say, "You know, I don't want to do that. I got better plans. I have a better understanding of what I should be doing with my life. I have more important things to do." But you know what? God has a better plan for your life if you're willing to obey. If you're willing to submit, He will bless you. James chapter 1 says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. The reality is that it all comes down to a choice. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to choose? We all know the passage in Joshua. Joshua says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I would ask you today, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve your schedule? Are you going to serve your job? Or are you going to serve the Lord? There's a story about an old village in Spain. The people of this village heard that the king had planned to visit there, and no king had ever visited this village before. So naturally, they were very excited and wanted to offer a great celebration that would show their adoration and that would honor the king. But what could a village of such poor people offer? Someone proposed that since so many of the villagers made their own wines, very good wines, that they could offer that to please the king. And each decided that they would all take some of their best wine and combine them as a gift for the king. On the day of the king's arrival, they all came to the village square early in the morning, to the village square early in the morning, with a large cup of their finest wine, and they poured the offering into a small opening at the top of the large barrel. They were excited to see the king enjoy the best wine he'd ever tasted. When he arrived, the king was escorted to the square, where he was ceremoniously presented with a silver cup and invited to draw wine from the barrel. He was told the villagers were delighted to have him taste the best wine that they had to offer. He filled his cup from the spigot, and when he drank the wine, to his surprise, he tasted only water. Had some miracle worker turned wine into water? Had someone stolen all the wine that was meant for the king? Nope. Each villager had reasoned, I'll withhold my best wine and give water. There will be so many cups of excellent wine poured into the barrel that mine will never be missed. And after all was said and done, the king was left with a town full of people who simply went through the motions of showing their love and admiration for him. Is that what we're doing? Are we just going through the motions? And here's another Sunday. I'll put my Sunday clothes on and go to church and just go through the motions. Come home and go back to the way I was doing it before. Are we giving our best to the Lord? Are we really living each day for Him? Because that is what He requires. If we want to be blessed by God, we got to get into His program. And His program is to obey Him. Completely. Not on Sunday, not on Sunday and Monday, but every day. Every moment of every day. Living your life in complete obedience to His word. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you put before us a wonderful plan, a life of abundance and success. But Lord, we are so quick to go off on our own way, to go off in our own direction. We're too impatient to wait for you. We're too stiff-necked to obey you. Lord, I pray that you would give your Holy Spirit to us. Give us an extra dose, Lord, that we might see the wonderful things that you have for us if we're just willing to obey, if we're just willing to submit to your plan. Lord, so many times we must step out in faith, hoping that you will come through for us. But Lord, we know that if we do, that you will always be there, that you always lift up those who are serving you. So So, Lord, we thank you for that, and we step out in faith, and we say, yes, Lord, all that you have said, we will do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.